This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We will talk about football in a second because there was a lot of fun stuff yesterday. I mean, you're sitting there watching. You're watching the Cowboys do that to the Falcons. The Falcons have not been the same since being up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. And they are in this terrible place where now just people think they're losers. And it's not. And no matter whether you change the players or anything else, it doesn't matter. Now people are not going to trust you because they think you're losers. And you can shake that. Clemson has. I mean, Clemsoning used to be a verb. And now Clemson is, you know, up 49-0 over Citadel, in the middle of the second quarter. And they go, before that, they go on a road conference game and they're just playing like family members, in the second quarter because right. They're beating people so badly. So you can change that. But before we get to that, we can't decide whether what we're about to play for you is good trash talk or bad trash talk. So Colby Covington is a bit of a contrivance. He's a note off in terms of doing some of this stuff well or authentically. I don't buy the sincerity of what he's doing, but he's figured out something that I'm surprised more guys haven't figured out, like Conor McGregor. Floyd Mayweather figured it out a long time ago. Chael Sonnen figured it out, that you could just be a jackass and say publicly a bunch of nonsense to get people agitated. And it will help your bank account. It'll make you a better fighter than you actually are in terms of getting people to pay to see if your face will get broken.
I figured it out a while ago.
And I'm surprised that more guys in the UFC aren't willing to do it in a team sport where you're not disrespecting anybody and you've got to back up your words. So Usman already has beaten Colby Covington and injured him like just smashed his face as a guy who isn't known for having much of a punch. But Colby Covington, after beating a just totally washed Woodley, who doesn't want to throw his hands under any circumstances, he is emboldened now to talk trash. So here's the back and forth, and we give you some context here. Both of these guys, Usman too, are MAGA guys, and so Usman was somebody who, in the middle of this, you will hear him say that the only reason the president is calling you is because I couldn't make the last rally. And they go back and forth, and there's some racism in here, which fighting is very good at trafficking in and has been for a long time. I don't know how this stuff flies in 2020, but Covington. On brand, Covington goes low common denominator and just goes racism in the middle of this. But here's the back and forth. You tell me whether this is good trash talk or bad trash talk.
He's so soft. You're soy boy soft.
Look at him.
He's so soft.
You didn't even finish.
Yeah, you never. Who'd you get a call from? You get a call from freaking your little tribe. They give you some smoke signals for you.
Okay,
you're
news
a joke,
flash.
Marty. Fake news. Newsflash.
News
you're a joke.
You went to that rally
guess what? You're fake news. No one cares about you. You're pathetic.
Do you care about me?
No. Yeah, because you got the worst decision in the history of the sport. So many bad calls against me.
Oh
yeah, no. No, you didn't. I still. Right up. That wasn't
I
your question. No,
face.
Marty, fake newsman. You didn't break
your
my face. I got right up and protested
Look
right away.
Me.
That was a
Look
fake stoppage,
me.
Fake rep,
broke
fake fight. Wait
face.
Till I see you next time. Wait till I see you next time, Marty, fake newsman. You're dead.
Am
you
I?
Got unfinished business.
Really?
You better show up.
Really?
I'm coming for you.
You said that last time. What happened?
Yeah, you wait till this time. You know who was winning
face.
Fake stoppage. You didn't break
I
none.
Broke
the only thing you broke
face.
Is your own will. You broke your spirit. That's why you're running from me.
I did?
That's why you're hiding. You ain't nowhere to run, nowhere to hide now. Wait till I see you next time. You didn't finish Tyron Woodley like I did. You're dead. You're on borrowed time.
Who's not worried about Tyron Woodley? You're worried about me. Look at me.
Look at
me.
Look at you. No one to look at your hairline.
Look
that shit's
here.
Gone, bro. You're the ugliest
look
dude in the
here.
History of the UFC. That hairline's
I
halfway up
your
Stop
face.
Stop doing steroids. Stop. You didn't
I
break
broke
nothing. The
your
only
face.
Thing you broke is your will. You broke your will. You ain't.
Wow, I beat
you.
You.
Dude, what are you doing? Foot stomps? You're the boringest champ in the history of this company,
but
man.
I
you're
broke
a joke.
Your face.
You didn't break anything.
That's
you broke
the important
your own will.
Thing.
You broke your own will. Why are you running? Why are you running? Come see me in the octagon then. See me. See what happens next time. Your best night, that was my worst night, and
what
I still beat your
time?
Ass.
Okay, tell me right
ass.
Now. Tell me what happens next
I'm
time.
I'm knocking your ass out. You're going out cold. I guarantee
you?
It. Just like I wobbled you. I know you lost all those brain cells. I know you're dimensional right now and delusional. Wait till I see you next time, Marty Fake News. You better train hard. Keep doing that EPO. Keep it up. I don't need nothing. This is raw American steel. I got the President of the United States. Dragon energy. When I see you, you're dead. You're dead. I ain't playing. I was playing before. Hey, guess what I was playing for? I ain't playing before. I ain't playing anymore. I'm serious now.
Game of Thrones out here, huh? Dragon energy, huh?
Wait till I see you next time. You're on borrowed time.
Okay.
You're on borrowed time.
All right.
All right. So there is the expression, when the facts are on your side, pound the facts. When the facts are not on your side, pound the table. And Covington, you see the moment where Covington gets legitimately angry. It's not wrestling character nonsense anymore. And it's because Usman keeps hitting him with the same set of facts. Very simple. I broke your face.
I think when you've broken someone's face, though, that's the only thing you have to throw out
right.
there.
We fought this one time, and that one time you left the octagon with blood all over your face because I broke your face.
And if you had your face broken, the only thing you could say is wait till next time.
Yes, that is correct. So he is saying a variety, but you can hear him. I think Usman laughs at that point because he's pounding the facts. I broke your face. And Covington's coming back with I broke your will, which doesn't really work when someone has broken your face. That's not really how that one goes. So you will hear where Covington feels most boxed in.
That was a look fake stop. It's fake rep. Broke fake fight. Wait till I see you next time. Marty Fake Newsman. You're dead. You're dead. We got unfinished business.
I feel like this is the discourse right now in America about everything that we talk about. I feel like it's fake news back and forth and you're dead.
That was a fake stoppage, fake rep, fake fight. Wait till I see you next time, Marty Fake Newsman. You're dead. You're dead.
He even loses his breath like Stugatz while calling him Fake Newsman.
That was a fake stoppage, fake rep, fake fight. Wait till I see you next time. Wait till I see you next time, Marty Fake Newsman. You're dead.
Is there anything on that? Newsman.
It's so bad. So what is the verdict here, Chris? I heard you guys arguing before the show. Where do we come down in terms of votes, whether that's good trash talk or bad trash talk?
I think that's great trash talk. I enjoyed every second of that.
And who was disagreeing with you? Was it Billy or was it someone else? Because I only caught portions of this conversation.
Should be said, we all admit that the racist part of the trash talk was terrible, right?
I think the entire thing was terrible. That was the worst song ever.
Yeah, we opened with racism, and then it somehow got worse. I mean, it's unbelievable. All right, so Nathan Peterman is more expensive than Cam Newton. I want you to let that marinate. That entire league allowed Bill Belichick to get Cam Newton for nothing, and he accounted for 96% of the Patriots' offense last night, passing and running. Here are some stats, Stugatz, from Falcons Cowboys. Okay, if you did not see the game, it is hard to imagine how it is that the Falcons lost that game. I think they were up 15 with 7 minutes left or 5 minutes left.
You had Mike McCarthy doing bad math, and somehow the Falcons still managed to lose that game. But their games are always exciting. Give the Falcons that.
I love that Mike McCarthy spent the whole offseason doing telling us that he's doing advanced math. And then there's some basic math that eludes him. But from ESPN Stats and Info, the Falcons had 39 points with zero turnovers. Entering the day, teams were 440-0 when scoring 39 points with zero turnovers since 1933, when team turnovers were first tracked, according to Elias. Okay? So that game has literally never been lost before the Falcons lost it.
That's amazing.
We honestly could devote the entire show because there were so many things in that game, from the unprecedented onside kick, the slow roller that nobody had the presence of mind to jump on because they've been hammered in practice. Hey, do not touch a ball before it goes 10 yards. So they're not ejecting from their programming when they should because it's such a slow roller, just jump on it. It was amazing to watch.
It was the greatest onside kick in the history of the NFL. It took a right turn at the very end to give it a couple extra yards.
It is also the first successful onside kick for Greg Zuerlein since 2014.
You don't see successful onside kicks anymore. And this was one unlike one that we've ever seen because it looked like it should have died out after 4 yards. And it just kept rolling and rolling. A Falcon could have just jumped on it. They didn't want to risk touching it, which would have made it a live ball. And then you have everybody pouncing on it. But the second that it went 10 yards, Dallas jumped on it. And would you ever see this? No replay. Everyone knew, wow, they got you there. It was just taking advantage of a team that had never seen that before, never prepared for it before. You had Jerry Jones wearing a mask, and you could tell how hard it was for him to breathe because it was going in and out. It was an incredible game, and it played all the hits. And I cannot believe that the Falcons once led a Super Bowl with that core 28-3.
It's amazing. Were you uncomfortable with the social distancing stuff going on inside the Cowboys suite? I was concerned for Jerry. He had young kids hugging him. I mean, I was concerned. I'm worried about the old people here.
I'm doing that with everyone on television.
Are you?
Everyone. I'm during the Emmys last night. I'm, everyone get away from each other at Reese Witherspoon's party. You people are too close together. This is from The Ringer. Under the current 16-game schedule, NFL teams reach 1,000 games after 62 and a half years. The Falcons as a franchise have played only 857 games in their entire history, including playoffs, stretching back to 1966. With a 99.9% chance of winning in the fourth quarter, the Falcons' loss is one of the most improbable results with a 1 in 1,000 chance of happening in NFL history. Dan Quinn is 14-20 since 2018, since being up 28-3 and being the coach that everyone wanted. And this from The Athletic. In two games, the Falcons have allowed 953 yards and 78 points. The Seahawks and Cowboys scored 10 touchdowns against the Falcons. The Dallas tried to give the game away, lost 3 fumbles, and had 2 ill-advised fake punts that set up Atlanta for 23 of their 39 points. So the Cowboys were awfully generous and won the game. Anyway, the Falcons played a perfect offensive game and somehow lost it. I wanted to ask you this question because there was so much football yesterday that I think people may have missed that, A, Kyler Murray is coming for everybody.
He's awesome.
He's making it look like Oklahoma in the pros, which is not like those spread offenses where the quarterback runs for 30 yards up the middle of your defense. That felt like Oklahoma, and that usually doesn't translate from college to the pros. But the other thing is that Kingsbury knows it, and so he not only goes for it on fourth and short up 20-0 in his own territory, Stugat, he runs a reverse. Like, that team is gaining confidence because they know that their quarterback is good. And you look at the guys in the league who play that style, Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson. Those teams are scary. I don't know how you defend them. You get them in 3rd and 7, and all of a sudden you feel like you've had, you feel like relief. And there ain't no relief in getting them in 3rd and 7. And it doesn't matter at all against the Ravens because the Ravens will just keep going for it on 4th down. And it seems like it seems like Kingsbury specifically, Andy Reid did this in his own territory game one, but it feels like Kingsbury specifically knows that all the math in that sport is outdated and you should go for it on 4th and short, even if you're on your own 30-yard line right. Sometimes, if you have the kind of offense where they're going to try and beat you with field goals and they're not going to beat you with field goals.
Especially with that quarterback. And you have to give Kingsbury credit because he said right when he was hired that that's the guy he would take. They had a quarterback. He still took that quarterback anyway, got rid of Josh Rosen, but it's amazing that a quarterback like Kyler Murray can take a guy who could not succeed at Texas Tech with Patrick Mahomes, was an offensive coordinator at USC, turned down that job, and now he's going to be a head coach of the NFL for the next 10 years.
Was 23-25 yes. At Texas Tech and somehow got the Arizona job.
Kyler Murray is one of the best athletes in the world right now. He's not just a tremendous thrower of the football, and it's not that he's just fast, right? Him and Lamar Jackson have incredible vision at the position. He'll just stop on a dime, let a defender just run past him, and he'll take it another 25 yards. He's got incredible vision for a quarterback.
It also helps when you have Bill O'Brien sitting out there just giving DeAndre Hopkins away. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Deshaun Watson doesn't have a wide receiver to throw to.
I am so excited because finally, Stugatz, finally, some of these cavemen who run these NFL teams and have been so conservative for so long are finally realizing, hey, fourth and one, we want to keep the ball when our quarterback's special. We don't want to give it back to you. Fourth and one, we're going to a reverse. He ran a damn reverse.
I've never seen you look happier.
Up 20-0 because I'm like, finally, cojones, finally, somebody in that league, tremendo cojones. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is the only thing the Jets did well yesterday was injure 49ers? Because that's about the only thing that happened in that game. Stu Gott, as a Jets fan, not only got to watch on the very first play of the game an 80-yard touchdown and a routine sweep right,
yep,
where a player, Mostert, made his way down the field before he was injured in the game, faster than any human being that we've been tracking at 23-something miles per hour, just pulled away from your secondary. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the worst play of the game. They also had a 3rd and 31, San Francisco did, that they converted on a handoff for a 55-yard run.
I think that was Jarris McKinnon, who hasn't played since 2017. You know what the Jets did to Mozart, though? They hurt him. I mean, he got hurt. He's one of the guys who got hurt.
And then the guy that replaced him, again, converted on 3rd and 31, a 55-yard run.
Most hurt.
Christine Lisi.
What?
I'm sorry that I interrupted you. You were saying.
And finally, for decades, scientists didn't know what created a mysterious network of caves in South America. In 2010, researchers learned the caves were actually tunnels dug by giant sloths 8,000 to 10,000 years ago. Mm. Speaking of giant sloths, Dan and Stu, back to you.
All right, Christine, you're getting lazy, Christine. When I see the joke coming, I saw what you were up to as soon as I heard giant sloth. Somebody sent us in just to please Stugatz today. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you know the name Ron Hassey? Because the happiest I've seen Stugatz in a month talking about Ron Hassey during the local hour when we were just talking about slow baseball players. But someone sent me this here. It's Keith Hernandez in the dugout with a terrible mustache. And Keith Hernandez, somebody is writing in, hey, Stugatz, you'd love this. After Keith Hernandez recorded his 2000th hit, he celebrated in the dugout with a heater. There's a picture of him in uniform in the dugout just smoking a cigarette.
It was a different time.
It's so great. I long for that time. What do you mean it's a different time? I want to go back to that time.
I'm so happy Hollywood fixed the problem because you do look cool smoking. I know this is a controversial take, but it does make people look cool. So they had to take it out of TV shows and movies because it looks so cool. Because I saw a cricket highlight. It was one of the coolest highlights I've ever seen, where a ball gets hit into the stands and this fan with a mullet and sunglasses is sitting there with his legs crossed, smoking a heater, catches the ball, uncrosses his legs, doesn't take the heater out of his mouth, throws it back, heater still in the mouth, sits back down, crosses legs.
Put it on the so cool.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Would you like us to go the other way on this and just allow baseball players to smoke cigarettes in the field? Like, I want my center fielder like throwing out like
it gets boring out there.
I want my center fielder. I don't want him to have to get on his horse and chase something in the alley. But before a routine flyout, I want him to throw the cigarette on the ground and snuff out the butt with his cleat before going and just lazily getting underneath a fly ball. It looks cool. Sorry for the controversial take. Now, some people here, Stugatz, are upset with me, and we will see this play out. This will be a place that perhaps you will get to laugh at me.
Isn't that always the case, though?
It is. Sports fans are unusual that way. Actually, before I go down this path, I just want to know what Gordon Hayward was going for with that look of slicked hair, parted hair with a terrible puffy mustache. He was going for Barbershop Quartet, right?
Oh, like, it's a good look for Gordon.
It
is.
For him, it's a good look. He makes it work.
Yeah. He's had a glow up, this kid. Because you remember what that kid looked like in Butler? I mean, the dude has found himself in the NBA.
That mustache is like, can it be described as a push broom mustache? It's fluffy.
Just was.
Yeah, but that's the look he's had for a while now, right?
No, the mustache is new. He has been experimenting with the facial hair a little bit. He's certainly, he started going to like a great barber midway through the Utah Jazz experience. But now he's doing this. Look, Gardner Twinshoe over here. He made a look. You got the mustache, but in 2020, you can't ride solo mustache. You need a little bit of a buffer on the face, and that's what Gordon Hayward has, and he looks good.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Does Gardner Minshew look like Jacksonville? That push broom mustache has not worked for very many people, but the thing that people are writing me today, because I was making fun last week on Highly Questionable, and I think Highly Questionable has been more critical in general of Josh Allen than any show on the network, at least in part because Dominique Foxworth is made insane with rage when he thinks about Josh Allen in a playoff game rolling out and throwing to his fullback across his body in double coverage, his square-shaped fullback. Right. And I don't think Foxworth has ever forgiven him for that.
Will he ever? Do we know?
Well, he had a great game yesterday. Not good, great. Throwing the ball down the field. Okay. He was 7 of 8 for a couple of touchdowns. He's there to make the big plays. Right now, you can't really trust him to make totally accurate throws. He made them all yesterday, but you can't also trust him to make good decisions because it's not just that he's reckless. He's got the confidence you want your quarterback to have when he's that athletic. He thinks he can make every play. And so he goes against conventional wisdom in some spots where, if you remember the playoff game last year, in a spot where he couldn't take a sack, he ran about 30 yards in the wrong direction late in the game. And he also was trying laterals during the game while he's running around in your secondary that were falling on the ground. And Bill's Mafia wants very badly to believe that they have a quarterback for the next 10 years. And I believe he was great yesterday.
Yep.
I believe that he's too reckless and inaccurate in today's NFL to be the quarterback who doesn't doom you, even though that team is just a quarterback away from being good enough to be a Super Bowl contender.
Here's what he has, though, that he hasn't had in years past. He has a number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. He actually has weapons. He has John Brown, who they got last year. He has Cole Beasley as his third wide receiver, a guy they got from the Cowboys a couple of years ago. Like, he actually has. So he doesn't have to run as much. He only ran 4 times for 18 yards yesterday. He doesn't have to run as much, and he actually has wide receivers to throw the ball to.
And we will see, right? We will see if these first two games, if this is a real thing, because I believe the aging of Ben Roethlisberger, the place that it'll get problematic is because in today's NFL, Stugat, these quarterbacks don't turn the ball over. The gunslinger is largely dead in that league. The coaches, I've told you how conservative they are on fourth down. They don't want gunslingers at that position. They don't want somebody who, look, man, look what happened to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston was 30-30, and they're like, nope, you can't have your starting job anymore, even though you threw for 5,000 yards. But Bills fans are feeling themselves because their quarterback was great yesterday. Indisputably great. No dispute from me. And so this is what I'm getting. He's winning games and making plays. They wanted him to put up stats. Well, they could put 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in their pipe and smoke it. And then somebody else comes back with, Lebatard, do you still feel like Josh Allen is no good? 700-plus passing yards his first 2 games. If a Finns quarterback did that, you would be slobbering all over him. Stick that up your tailpipe, Lebatard. And I want to know, but which of the pipes am I to choose?
How many pipes do you
have? Am I doing both of them? Am I sticking it up my tailpipe while also putting it in my pipe and smoking it? So am I taking it out of my tailpipe and then smoking it? Because that seems
not hygienic. I think these are two separate things.
Two separate pipes. Yeah.
Two different pipes, two different
things.
Which
is the worst of the pipes? Which is,
well, I mean, just looking at the human anatomy, where the tailpipe goes.
Yeah. But putting something in your pipe and smoking it could kill you. I mean,
but it would also make you look cool.
Yeah.
Can someone help me with where that expression comes from? where the expression, why am I putting something in my pipe and smoking it? First of all, wouldn't you be stunned if you were just sitting there watching anything
you put
and somebody,
Josh Allen's stat line in your pipe
I think I'm gonna actually do that at some point. Do you think I would look cool taking Josh Allen's stats, putting them in my pipe and smoking? I couldn't look cool if it had been in my tailpipe first. We cannot, we can say that that's a fact. But where is that expression from? Why are people, when and why are people telling you to put something in your pipe and smoke it?
I'm on it, Dan.
So I ask you again, Stugatz, because I think it is worth trying to figure out, as all of these evolutions in sports have been happening in front of our eyes in real time, where we realize, hey, wait a minute, the two-point shot that everyone in basketball has been trying to get in the post is the least efficient of the shots. And, you know, you've seen just all of the math change in that sport. You've seen the math change in baseball, where the shifts, I miss a screaming line drive up the middle being a base hit. I'm not kidding you
right.
When I say it's disorienting to me. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you miss when they change the camera angle from the pitcher to behind second base? Do you miss knowing that the screaming line drive past the pitcher's head is a base hit? But you can't anymore with the shift. But when I say to you, again, the Cardinals yesterday afternoon, they're up 20-0. They're on their own 27-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
20-0. I don't think there's been a time in this sport, not Belichick, not anybody. Belichick got criticized for going on fourth and short when he was playing against Peyton Manning and he had Tom Brady and he was in Colts territory.
That was a bad call. Sorry.
On his own 27-yard line, up 20-0. Fourth and short. Every coach in the history of the sport punts there.
Yep.
There is no one who is, but the math is going to change on this. With young guys will come less conservative guys, will come people who say, you know what, bleep this. I've got Kyler Murray. I'm not going to be scared of you and fourth and short. You need to be scared of me on fourth and short.
My quarterback can get a couple of yards. He's that good with his legs or with his arm. And if he doesn't, you'll have the ball. Yes, you'll have it deep in our territory, but you haven't scored all game. And my defense is pretty good, and maybe you'll get a field goal, and maybe you won't. Maybe you'll get a touchdown. I'll still be up 27.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how they're thinking,
you
right?
You got Dwayne Haskins. You have no idea who your running back is. And
you don't even know your name. That's the name of your team.
You don't know the name of your team.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Riverboat Ron might do that, but he'll wait till the fourth quarter. I have Kyler Murray, the greatest wide receiver of his generation, the greatest wide receiver of the next generation. I'm going to go for this.
I love, okay, that Riverboat Ron got his name, his nickname, specifically because he started going for it on fourth down when his job was in jeopardy. Yep. When he had Cam Newton. Like, he was forced into the bravery because he was about to lose his job, and he's like, I'm going to go for it. And you know what you're going to say I am? You're going to say I'm a riverboat gambler, except all I am is just slightly less of a coward than all of my peers who can't do simple math.
Just desperate now.
I'm about to lose my job anyway. Now I'm a riverboat gambler. Why? Because I dared to go for it on fourth and one with Cam Newton on your 40-yard line. What are you going to do about it? Like, what are we doing?
Such a gambler.
No, but this is what I'm saying. 10 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, what the hell were we doing? Like, we gave that guy a riverboat nickname, and all he did was try
to... He's ahead of his time. He deserved it.
He's not ahead of his time.
He's a visionary.
He's another one of these conservative foofs who demand the coward, the toughness from someone else.
Madden gamer's 20 years ahead of the rest of the NFL, because that's such a Madden call. Fourth and one on my own 20. Ah, whatever. I'll go for it. And now you're seeing it in the NFL. You're begging for someone to punt in that situation when you're playing Madden. Begging. And in the NFL, you are too. You're so satisfied. Aha!
You tell me.
Last play.
You tell me, okay, if you're the defense or you're the fan of the defense on the field and you've held the Colts to fourth and short and they decide to not punt. Are you saying oh, I feel like I've won. I feel like I've won this series and this game. Or are you just pooping your pants? Because
really?
When you have Patrick Mahomes, you don't want to give it to the kicker.
Right. When you have Kyler Murray, you don't want to take the ball out of his hands.
Chiefs, but some of these teams, what the hell are you going to do? The Ravens are doing it a lot, guys. They've been doing it for a couple of seasons. Why? Because they got Lamar Jackson. Why? Because we like our chances being able to get 10 yards with Lamar Jackson if you give us four downs, more than if you give us three. And it seems really like a simple thing. And as recently as a few years ago, John Gruden was telling us, nope, I don't believe. What did those analytics people ever do in terms of playing football? Well, I go with my gut, not the math. And that day, that's how it dies, though, Stugatz. You're watching it happen. Man, Andy Reid did it. He did it in the first game of the season inside of his own 40-yard line.